There is a famous machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam regarding the status of Malchus Chashmonoi. The Ramban, in Parshas Vayechi, discussing one of the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, Lo Yosra Shevet Miyehuda, that the scepter will never stray from the tribe of Yehuda. So Ramban learns from there that there is an Isser to be Ma'amid Melech from any of the other Shvatim. The Shvatim have to come from Yehuda. But that was only, now the problem with that is what about Shaul HaMelech, who was appointed Al Yedei Shmuel HaNavi? So Ramban writes that the Isser only begins once there's a Melech from Malchus Beis David. Once David HaMelech was Nimshach to be Melech, so then at that point, there's an Isser to appoint a Melech from any of the other tribes. And therefore the Ramban continues and says that the Bnei Chashmonai, the heroes of the Hanukkah story, even though they were Chasidei Elyon, they were still punished, and their entire dynasty was killed. The sons of Matasyo were killed in battle, and they were punished. That was a punishment because they inappropriately took the kingship. It was great that they were heroes, and they were Chasidei Elyon, but they erred in assuming the kingship. The Yerushalmi also quotes a possible Isser specifically for Kohanim to involve themselves in the Melucha. But be that as it may, the Ramban Shita remains that the Chashmonoim committed an Isser when they assumed the Malchus in the Hanukkah story. However, if you take a look at the Rambam in Hichos Hanukkah Perek Gimel, so the Rambam tells the story, the Hanukkah story, and he says how the Chashmonoim, who were Kohanim, how they were successful in their battle against the Yevanim. And then the Rambam writes that they were Ma'amid Melech Mina Kohanim. They installed a king from themselves, from one of the Kohanim. Then, in a very famous line, the Rambam says, V'chazra Malchus LeYisrael, Chazra Malchus Yisrael, Yes, sir, Mimatayim Shana, for more than 200 years, Ad Chorban Abayis. That at this point, we're in the middle of the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Greeks had taken over the Beis HaMikdash, but with this victory, so Malchus Yisrael returned to Klal Yisrael for more than 200 years. Now, the Rambam's description here seemingly is all positive. He doesn't throw in, even though they committed a sin by what they did. No, the Rambam seems to speak very positively, that they were, and he even stresses, that they were Ma'amid HaMelech Min HaKohanim, and Chozra Malchus Yisrael. This is clearly, he's stating this in a positive sense, that Malchus Yisrael returned. So from the Rambam, you certainly do not get the impression that anything was done wrong by the Chashmonaim by making themselves king. Similarly, if you take a look at Rashi in Shir HaShirim, in Perek Vav of Shir HaShirim, so there's a pasuk, Mizos hanishkafo kmo shachar, Yafa kalivona, Bora kachama, Ayuma kanidolos. The pasuk here is quoting a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's praising Klal Yisrael. And there's an expression here of Klal Yisrael, the kmo shachar, just like the sun rises. So there's a certain quality to Klal Yisrael that gets stronger and greater and better. And Rashi explains that this is a reference to Bayasheni, because in the beginning of Bayasheni, so Zerubbabel was the leader of the Jews, but Rashi says he wasn't really a melech. He was installed as a local governor by the Persians. But then, after Zerubbabel, things got even better, and we had the Malchus Chashmonoi. So Rashi says all of that in description of this pasuk, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying how great Klal Yisrael, that what's going to be, that there's going to be this flourishing of leadership, of Malchus, during the period of Bayasheni, and the apex, the pinnacle, is the Malchus Chashmonoi. So Rashi is well, seemingly, on the side of the Rambam, that this was a positive turn of events, the installation of a king from the Chashmonoi. So what do we do with the Ramban? What do we do with the Pasuk Lo Yosra Shevet Miyehuda? So one way to explain the Shitas HaRambam is to say that the Rambam really just flat out argues. The Rambam holds that there is not an Isser to be Mamre Melech from Shar Shvatim. And indeed, if you look in Hilchos Malachim, when the Rambam describes the process of installing a king, so he doesn't mention there an Isser, to the best of my knowledge, he doesn't mention there an Isser to be Mamre Melech from the Shvatim. He does indicate that there's a Maila and a Mitzvah maybe to be Mamre Mi Beis David, but seemingly he understood the Pasuk of Yasser Shevet Yehuda as a Haftacha, not as an Isser to appoint anyone, but rather as a promise, as a haftacha to the tribe of Judah, that those kings that are going to have longevity are going to come from Yehuda. And sure enough, we know that the Malchus Chashmonai, even if, according to the Rambam, they were not a sin, the installation of their kings, but they didn't have longevity. Another direction, another possible way to go for the Shitas of Rambam, is to say that maybe in a Hanami, to install an actual king for the full Malchus would be a problem. But maybe the Rambam learned that Malchus Chashmonai didn't have the full-fledged status of Malchus Yisrael. Because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that Minoy HaMelech needs to be done al yidei the Sanhedrin and a Navi. And the Chashmonaim were living in the times of Bais Sheni. There was no Navi at that point. So they had a Sanhedrin, but they did not have a Navi to install them. Rav Kook writes in his Tshuvas that perhaps the whole din of Alpi Navi only applies when there is a Navi. And if there's not a Navi, that's not going to be ma'akev, the appointment of the king. It needs to be some type of general agreement by the nation. This might be similar to what the Aruch HaShulchan writes, that when they had Milchama during Bayis Sheni, they didn't have the Urim and Tumim, even though you're supposed to go out to Milchama with the Urim and Tumim, if you don't have Urim and Tumim, so that's not going to be ma'akev going out to battle. Furthermore, the Ran, in his Drashos, he writes that the Machus Chashmonai was not really a real Machus because they were really puppets to Yavon and Rome. But the Abarbanel is Masig on this, and the Abarbanel writes that that's not true. Truth is, from a historical perspective, it appears that even after the Hanukkah story, there was still a good quarter of a century where the Jews were struggling for and trying to wrestle full control away from the Greeks. So we can maybe leave that as an open question, in terms of how much, at least immediately, were those initial generations of the sons, again, most of the sons were killed in battle, but those immediate generations of Chashmonai kings, the ones that the Ramban are probably referring to when he says Chaside Elyon, if any of them actually ruled a completely autonomous Jewish rulership, a monarchy, if they had a completely autonomous monarchy. So we'll leave that as an open question, but this would all be part of this discussion of whether the Malchus was really a true Malchus. We should add that first of all, on the one hand, the Rambam's Lashon of Chazra Malchus Yisrael certainly sounds like it was a full Malchus. In addition, there are a bunch of Gemaras that talk about Chashmonai kings that imply that they had regular Din Malchus, like, for instance, the Gemara in Ksubis in the second Perek that speaks about Yanai HaMelech, and the Mashmos, when he comes to a crossroads, and there's a Kala, I believe, and it seems clear in the Gemara there that Yanai has a Din Melech. That's the whole discussion in the Gemara, is a Melech moving out of the way for a Kala. So Yanai is one of the Chashmonai kings. We can even maybe bring a Kabbalah Chomer. There's a Gemara in Sota on Daf Membez that talks about Agrippus at Hakel, and how he cried when he read the Pesukim of Som Tosim Alech HaMelech Mikarev Achecha, and he realized that he's not really, you know, of true Jewish blood, and therefore he cried, and the Chachamim, who were criticized for it, the Chachamim said to him, don't worry, Achinu Ata, you're our brother. So that whole discussion there, that's talking about Agrippus. Now Agrippus is not even a Chashmonai king, he's a Herodian, he's a grandson or a great-grandson, he's related to Herod. So there's a koshik in it. If the Gemara there is considering them to have a din melech, so then koshik and the Chashmonaim were real full-fledged Jews. Maybe just to conclude, I guess just with a very brief summary. So we are basically seeing that there is this very big machlokas about how to look at the malchus of the Chashmonaim. The Ramban from the Pasuk of Lo Yasur Shevet Yehuda seems to see it as an Isser. The Rambam, Rashi, and Shir Shirim seem to not see it that way. They even seem to see it as a positive thing. And we gave suggestions. The Pashtus is that that's the Pshat in the Rambam. We did say that one could try to make an argument that maybe it wasn't a malchus amitis, it wasn't a true, complete malchus, but again, it's hard to argue that, both in the Lashon of the Rambam and the Gemaras that we see, that the Chashmonai kings had a din melech. Now, it's very interesting, maybe we'll end with just two interesting things. First of all, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Netav Reish Ayin, in the very beginning of Halachas Chanukah, so the Mishnah Berurah basically quotes the Rambam verbatim, but he leaves out the words, V'hemidu melech mina kohanim. Now that key line in the Rambam that stresses the fact that the Chashmonaim were kings and were kohanim kings, so that's left out by the Mishnah Berurah, and we have to assume it's not a coincidence. He didn't just happen to leave that out. Maybe this was the way that the Chafetz Chaim was able to write the Mishnah Berurah's Hakdama here to, or this opening Sifkatan, he was able to write it in a way that works both according to the Rambam and the Ramban. Like, it's almost like without taking sides. So even though he quotes the Rambam verbatim, basically, he leaves out that line, which is madgish, which stresses the fact that he was a chashmona, that they were kohanim. So that's one very interesting thing. The other is that there is a Masorah brought down that, you know, there's an interesting question, why is there no Maseches Hanukkah? You know, there's a Maseches Megillah, which is about Purim, which itself is an interesting question. Why is it called Maseches Megillah, not Maseches Purim? But granted, the first word in the Masechta is Megillah, but there are a lot of Masechtas, Shabbos and Erevin, and a million Masechtas, you know, are not named after the first word in the Masechta. So there is a Masechta, though, about Purim. But there is no Masechta about Hanukkah, and there's plenty of Sifim and Shulchan Aruch about it. It's not like there isn't enough material about Hanukkah. So just like there's a Maseches Megillah, there's no reason why there can't be a Maseches Hanukkah, or you can make a joint Masechta, just like the Rambam put them together in Hilchos Megillah and Hanukkah, first two Prakim Hilchos Megillah, last two Prakim Hilchos Hanukkah. So you can also have a Masechta, which is Megillah and Hanukkah. So it's interesting that that's left out. And there is a Masorah brought down that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi left it out, because of the controversial issue of the Chashmonaim becoming kings. So that's just another interesting tidbit that's related to this discussion.